Around 150 teenagers are shot in Philadelphia every year. High-profile coverage of individual shootings can make it seem like those numbers are rising, but city records provided to WHYY show that over the past 5 years, that number has stayed pretty consistent. City officials and community leaders are increasingly worried they have not put a dent in those numbers. WHYY's Bobby Allen spent some time with one Philadelphia teen who personally knows the toll of gun violence, and a group of mentors that is trying to convince teenagers to put down their weapons.
Tamir King is a 17-year-old who goes to Overbrook High School in West Philly. He's barely old enough to drive, and already he's experienced more loss than most adults double his age. His dad, his uncle, and his close family friend, who went by the name Hag, were all fatally shot.
I think about Hag, my dad, my uncle, bro. I think about everybody I lost every day. I have dreams about them. Almost maybe like three nights out the week. Since then, I just haven't been able to like get close with another male. You feel me?
So King is sharing this moment in a room full of other teenagers who know gun violence firsthand. It's a program run by the group Frontline Dads, which mentors young boys who've grown up under tough conditions. Memories of violence remain time marks in his mind, like this one. The school year had just wrapped up last year. He went home, and he was excited to start his summer.
When my mom got the call, I just heard my mom start breaking down, crying. I'm just like, what's going on? My stepdad was like, it's Hag. I'm like, what you mean? What's wrong with Hag? He was like, they got him.
Reuben Jones, who runs Frontline Dads, listens to King. Then he responds.
Healing is a part of overcoming all those feelings that you feel like you wasn't even able to grieve and cry and release. And when people do that, it builds up in here. And it comes out somewhere. It's like a pipe. If you close off one end, that water's going to come out somewhere when the pressure builds up enough.
This is exactly why Jones holds these meetings, to provide a release valve to teens like King, who maybe have lost fathers, have trouble expressing their feelings, and are part of a world that encourages violence over talking things out. Last year, 22 teenagers were shot and killed in Philadelphia. It's another statistic that hasn't fluctuated much over the past 5 years. King has seen this kind of violence up close. He says beefs get started over little things, taunting someone on Instagram, just walking around a rival neighborhood, listening to a rapper who has connections to an enemy at school, or just looking at someone. King says it happens a lot. He's walking down the school hallway and he sees someone staring at him. He talks to someone else for a couple minutes, tries to ignore the person gawking at him.
I'm laughing, busting it up, having the time of my life. I look back over, he's still staring. What would y'all say? I'm not going to just be like, oh, yeah, how you doing? I'm going to say, what's up?
That what's up could be taken as a threat, and it could cause problems down the road. Jones is used to hearing these stories.
In their environment, making eye contact can cost you your life. So you become aversive to eye contact. Where every eye contact becomes a challenge. What you looking at? What's your problem?
The mentors at Frontline Dads are trying to help young men navigate everyday situations like this.
A lot of violence is based on machismo.
That's Joseph Douglas. He runs another mentoring group called Black Men Assisting Black Boys Alliance. He says it's significant that Philly is the poorest big city in the country. He says poverty intensifies feelings of desperation.
So you got a poor person, you got somebody with low self-esteem. It's like, a lot of times all you have is your manhood.
Getting together to unpack masculinity isn't something most teen boys would sign up for fun. But King and about a dozen others ended up in this room as part of a second chance, a court-ordered diversionary program that will allow them to avoid jail and a criminal record. Already, King says, the talks have prompted him to talk differently with friends who've thought about turning to gun violence to settle a score. Here's what he said to one friend.
What your mom gonna do without you? Now you're sitting in prison for life because you killed someone. Even if you get away with it, you thinking about that every day, it mentally scars you. Like, because you just took somebody's life away.
The city wants to recruit more people like King to interrupt violence. City Hall officials are currently auditing the tens of millions of dollars spent every year attempting to reduce violence and will be releasing a report later this month calling for changes. Mayor Jim Kenney also declared gun violence a public health emergency and this fall gave his staff 100 days to come up with a new approach. Vanessa Garrett Harley is the city's deputy managing director for criminal justice and public safety, and she's helping lead the study.
I truly understand, and we've all had somebody we care about been the victim of gun violence. The urgency is definitely not lost on us.
This summer, the city launched a program where crisis responders work overnight to monitor neighborhood tensions. When they hear something, they'll head out and try to defuse the situation before it escalates. And Harley says the city will soon be handing out micro grants to fund small one-off efforts to try to prevent violence.
Something as simple as we hear about that there's going to be some violence tonight, so we're going to hold a basketball game to keep everybody off the streets.
Theron Pride, the top city official overseeing gun violence prevention, says that's part of the focus going forward, funding what he calls credible messengers to settle people down.
Because engaging the population that we're most concerned about, there's always a trust issue. I don't know you. You haven't walked in my shoes. How can I look for you to help me?
Back in West Philadelphia, John Dye Harrell, a former incarcerated activist who runs the Center for Returning Citizens, is in the room with the dozen teen boys, and he delivers this message.
It's not that serious. Many of the insults that you perceive to be so life-threatening, next week you won't even remember it. So it's developing the critical thinking skills to see past situations and to make critical decisions that impact life and death. No one's teaching that on the street.
Harrell says more resources need to be pumped into teaching teens conflict resolution. But one hurdle to that funding?
No one wants to put money in the hands of formerly incarcerated people.
The city says the goal isn't necessarily going to increase funding to anti-violence programs, but rather to focus dollars on initiatives that are most likely to work. And that's likely going to mean more collaboration with people embedded in violent communities who have the power to disrupt. Bobby Allen, WHYY News.